All right. Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 38. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 38. Romans, chapter 8, verse 38 reads this way. It says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne once again, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together in your house. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we call upon you to bless our hearts and minds and fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might hear from you and that you would be highly exalted and lifted up, and that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we would walk away edified and built up in the strength of your power, Lord, to be your witnesses. So bless and build Northwood for your honor and glory. We do ask your blessings on all of your churches and all of your missionaries, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "The Love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the title of the message, or we can also call it "A Beautiful Persuasion," and we'll take a look at here what we're talking about. Three thoughts this evening, and that's simply, the helper of our infirmities, and then God's unfailing purpose, and then the last thought will be God's unfailing love. And these are all given to the believer for our edification and for our wisdom and understanding, and for the power to grow in the grace of the Lord. So back up with me, if you will, to verse 26. And notice, first of all, the helper of our infirmities. And we do have a helper, amen? And we call him the Holy Spirit. He's the paraclete, and he's all important, because without him, you would have never been saved, and without him, you would never stay saved, because we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a vital, intricate part of our salvation. Of course, God the Father wills that God the Son would come and make the payment for our sins, and that's what got everything started. But we were not left hopeless or powerless. We have been given the Holy Spirit. And let's consider here how he helps us concerning our infirmity. So look at verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And that's important. So what is it now? He's the helper of our infirmities there in verse 6. Did you read that? Notice again verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." So what is our infirmities? Well, we have a natural body that is native to weakness and frailty when it comes to spiritual things. You and I are not going to wow or impress the Lord with our spirituality. We have none. It is God. I mean, we have a spirit, right? A soul, if you will. But then God's Holy Spirit is the one that enlightens our spirit to understand his will. So because our body is native to weakness and to frailty, the soul needs the strength of the Lord, right? Or, listen, we have a lack of strength and capacity, so we need the work of the Holy Spirit. What for? Well, to understand spiritual things. Listen, you and I had no clue about eternal life as far as what that really means in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We might believe in a God. You know, a lot of lost people believe in God. I remember, I was never an atheist. I was never even an agnostic. I believed there was a God, I believed he was a merciful God, but I didn't know his mercy. And so, likewise, God wants us to understand that we need his spirit, his guidance, to understand what salvation is really all about. And so our sins have separated us, and all of a sudden, one day that light came on because of the
work of the Holy Spirit that convicted us of that need. There is no way anybody will ever come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ without that. You and I are not going to bamboozle anybody, not that we want to. You and I are not going to convince anybody without the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, we do try to persuade them because eternity hangs in the balance, but we need the working of the Holy Spirit in the life of the individual in order for them to come to that place to where they say, wow, that's me. I need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ for myself. But then after salvation, we really need the Holy Spirit to grow in the grace of God. Or what we will do is, here's what will happen. We'll be like Peter. Oh, listen, we will die for the Lord Jesus Christ. And realize we, not realizing that we won't do that, will we? Not really, not in our strength. As soon as, my goodness, I think you're with one of them. Who, me? I don't even know the man. And you know what? As a saved child of God, we can act like we don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ in public. Amongst co-workers, amongst associates that we associate. If we're not careful, Peter did not want anybody to know that he was connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but he loved him enough to follow him and to be there where he was at, but then he denied him how many times? He denied him three times, and you and I will also deny him without understanding the things that are of the Spirit and how dependent we have to be on the Lord Jesus Christ by his power that we won't deny him. And after he transferred his confidence from the flesh to faith in God, in the Spirit, then he was able to boldly stand for the Lord. In fact, history tells us that he was crucified, but that he was not willing to be crucified upright, but upside down, because he didn't consider himself worthy to be crucified as his master was. And there's no way that Peter would have done that in his own. There's no way any one of us would be able to do that without the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to understand by the Spirit of the Lord spiritual things. Not only that, but we also lack the strength and the capacity to do things that are great and glorious for the name of the Lord. Why in the world would we ever think we got a plan that boy, oh boy, is going to turn the world upside down if God doesn't do it? We can't do that. Thirdly, we also have a lack of strength and capacity to restrain corrupt desires. You and I lack the ability to refrain from corrupt desires. God is the only one that can do that. Lord, I need you. Do we not? Deliver me from me. Deliver me from me. And by the way, and then here's how we do it, right? Lord, I need deliverance from whatever it is. Lord, maybe I get angry too fast. Maybe I'm impatient. Maybe my thoughts go where they shouldn't go. Maybe I become selfish. Whatever the problem might be, and then we say, Lord, help me, deliver me from that. And then we walk away saying, gee, is God going to do that? Is God going to answer a prayer like that? Or would he rather us say, Lord, you are all powerful. I have complete confidence that you can deliver me from my problems. Amen? And I can be specific, Lord. I need your patience in my life. I need your grace. I need your love in my life. And then get up and say, Lord, it is as good as done. Believe that you have what you're asking for, and the Lord says you shall receive it. That's the way to do it. We can listen, and then you have to walk in that. And then, by the way, listen, if you make it for an hour or 2 hours or longer than you've ever made it before, and whatever it is that you're bringing before the Lord to deliver you from, praise his holy name. You'll do that. You'll say, Lord, I know that is you. But maybe you don't make it the whole day. Does that mean that you give up? Or do you say, Lord, I need you to deliver me the whole day long? Amen? And then tomorrow and then the next day, I need to call upon you. So our soul needs strength and understanding because we have the lack of capacity to restrain corrupt desires. But also, we have a lack of strength and capacity to bear trials and troubles in a way that would honor and glorify the Lord. Listen to that very carefully. We lack the ability to bear trials and troubles in the way that would honor and glorify the Lord. God does not say, okay, now listen, you do your very best when trials come into your life to put on a happy face. Is that real? No. I told you the story. One of the funniest things I ever saw. And you know, smart people can do some dumb things. Is that not the truth? Smart people can do some dumb things. My former boss, back in the 90s, he went ahead and he went to St. Louis. And from Rolla, Missouri, he went to St. Louis and went to a seminar. I don't know how many hours he spent there. I don't like seminars, especially if you got to pay for them. And not only that, but then he bought $400 of some kind of nutritional thing that was going to make him happy. Can you believe somebody sold a smart businessman? I worked for the guy. All right. I don't know what that says about me, but anyway, he gave me a job and I appreciated it. And he came in that next week after that weekend like this, and of course he didn't look normal. He didn't look like his normal self, because his normal self was serious and at work, and he just happened to have this kind of this smile on his face. And it wasn't me, but one of the other coworkers asked him. He said, "Can you guys see a difference in me?" He asked us. Other than having a dumb grin on his face, I don't know what else it was. And then he told us about this seminar that he went to and these pills that he was taking that was supposed to make him happy. You know, that didn't make it the whole week. In fact, I dare say it didn't even make it the whole day, right? Listen, only God can bring true joy and enable us, and remind us that no matter what happens, you and I are in the hand of God. And no matter what happens, you and I will wind up in heaven because of God's grace. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Nobody can take us out of the Lord's hands. When we call upon the Lord to enable us to focus on what He has given us, then we can rejoice in all that we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need the strength of the Lord to enable us to bear trials and troubles in our life the way it would honor and glorify the Lord. And so this is a beautiful persuasion. God has to persuade you and I that He is able. And how are you going to be persuaded by that? His word says it, whether you believe it or not, that settles it. There's a little saying that goes, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, that's backwards. God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. And that's the way that God wants us to have faith in Him. Listen, Lord, if you said it, that settles it. I don't have to debate it. I need to believe it because God's word is true. So this is the helper of our infirmity. So notice verse 27, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit." So he's searching what hearts? What hearts is he searching? That's plural. He's searching our hearts as believers, and he's wanting us to see if we're in tune with him, to walk with him, if we are truly wanting that, and he knoweth what's in the mind of the Spirit. He searches our hearts. He knows the mind of the Spirit. And so he says, do you really want to believe the Lord in these things, or are you just here listening without a desire to practice? See, that gets us nowhere, right? Remember, we said that this morning. How do you grow weary of hearing the word of God? No practicing the word of God. Not putting it. Listen, if you're not in the game of walking for the Lord Jesus Christ and living in Christ, all these things are nonsensical, really. They have nothing. You have other things that are more important than the word of God. You've got so many things to do. If we're not careful, the world would have us get so busy that we have no time for the Lord. When it really ought to be the other way around, putting God first and making sure He gets His and not leaving the other neglected. And so how do we do that? Well, we've got plenty of biblical examples that God says, get up early and make sure you put Him first before anything else, and be careful about the deceptive working of Satan. Do you think Satan is alive today? Do you think he's hard at work today more than ever before? Is he able to keep you and I distracted in things that are not eternal? Easy, isn't it? It's so easy. And not bad things. Not bad things. I mean, listen, there's not a lot of good stuff news on the news, is there really? But, you know, we can inform ourselves. We can get all this kind of information and leave God out of the picture if we're not careful. And we say we're a saved child of God, but we're not really allowing the work of the Lord to take place in our life. So it tells us here that the Lord searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for his saints according to the will of God. Did you see that? God is making intercession for you and I according to the will of God, to fulfill the will of God. Now here's a real question. Are we in tune and on board with God to fulfill his will in our lives, or have we come to say this, I can't do that? See, I can't do that. Who are we looking to?
Ourselves.
I. And instead of saying, Lord, you can do how many things? Isn't that amazing? Even with us, he can do all things. All we have to do is have how much faith that he can do all things in our lives. How much faith? A grain of a mustard seed, just a little bit. And God says, I'll do that. Now, we have an opportunity to prove the Lord in what we're hearing tonight. Do we really believe this, or are we just chalking off a sermon? Because here's what's really going to matter, how you and I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether or not we believe the Word of God and prove the Word of God in our own personal lives. You cannot do that for me, and I cannot do that for you. But one thing is sure, all of us will stand before the Lord on how we believed His Word. Amen. All of us will stand before God Almighty and give an account for the stewardship that God has given to us and blessed us with. And whether we discarded it as an impossibility or whether we took it by faith and said, God, you have given to me everything I will ever need. Isn't that something? God wants to be the helper of our infirmities. Number two, God's unfailing purpose. Notice verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So God has a purpose for the called, does he not? We profess to be a saved child of God. He's got a purpose for your life and mine. And that is ultimately to glorify him by his grace and power. That is the way that it works. He's not left us to ourselves. Notice verse 29 here. And this is what it says here. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. When is this? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When is this plan to be conformed to the image of his son? Is this a future tense or is it a present tense? It's a present and it's a future tense, but it's a present tense. Everything that he's talking about here in this text is for right now. To make the difference in our lives for the glory of God and also for our blessing. And so notice what he says here. verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. When were you justified? When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a real good one, ready? In the eyes of God, when were we justified in eternity past? In the mind of God, does God know everyone that's going to be saved? That's mind-boggling, isn't it? God knows. And he knows whenever that last person is, and I believe that the trump is going to sound shortly thereafter, if not right at that point, I don't know. But he's got his timing, and we'll trust him with that. So he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. When was that? Well, in God's mind and heart, of course it was an eternity past, but the moment that transpired in your life and mine was that salvation. And that is a continual work that God is wanting to do in our lives if we'll believe it. If we'll believe it. Now, you can say, Brother George, I don't know if I believe that. You are free not to believe that. But you are also free to miss out because of a lack of faith. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. I am not going to persuade you. I will try to show you what I believe. But listen, I believe the blessings of the Lord are for here and now as well as for the future to come. God wants to change our lives with his word. Let me say that again. God wants to change our lives with his word. The question is whether or not we believe it and take it to heart and say, yes, Lord, this is what you want to do in my life. So because God is he's justified us and because he's also glorified us, we are already glorified. Did you know that? We are already glorified. How do we know that? Well, you have been given the Holy Spirit. Would God glorify something that was unholy? No, God, the blood of Christ covers us. He's indwelt us with the Holy Spirit. You and I have been glorified and blessed with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that's to walk in an upright way according to his power and grace. So notice verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? What shall we say then to these things? They are present. They can apply for the future as well, but God is talking to us now. What are we going to say because of these things that have been already done and taken place? He says this, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody can be against us. No person outside of yourself can be against you. But you can stop the Lord. You can stop the Lord with unbelief. You and I can grieve the Holy Spirit with unbelief. We can grieve him. We can say, well, now listen, if we do this and if we do that, we can get some things going on. And God's wanting us to look to him. And I've said this, and I believe this. You know, my wife and I have been involved. We can't even tell you how many programs in the last 35 years that we've been together. We believe in outreach. My wife and I, we started a bus route from nothing. Now listen, I will tell you, today it seems to be harder. But we were out every Thursday night and every Saturday morning. We would be out door knocking. And we would be out starting, we started a bus route. We had over 30 kids coming from our bus route that started from nothing. And we had Sunday school at 3 p.m. on Sunday for the bus kids. We had our morning service, and then we had an afternoon service at 3 o'clock, and the buses would run, and we'd be there to greet them. And we taught a 5th and 6th grade Sunday school class at 3 p.m., having to be back at church at 6 p.m. I'm not against any of that. And listen, if I thought for a moment that we could get a Sunday school started and we would have 30 kids here at 3 p.m., we'd have it. Amen. I'm not against any of that. But we are not going to do things without the Lord to his honor and glory. It won't happen. So the critical thing, I am convinced God is saying to Northwood Baptist Church, we need the Lord. Amen? And that we need to seek him and not our little old ideas, but we need him to guide our hearts and minds into his paths. Amen. And so I can tell you program after program that we've been involved, and I'm not against it, and I never will be against those things, but I believe that we can't leave the Lord out of the picture. Amen? Right. We have to include him on what he wants us to do. So we find the unfailing purpose of the Lord here, and that is to be conformed to the image of his Son. And notice again, he says that if God be for us, who can be against us? And of course, that's nobody, but really, we can reject this and miss out on the Lord. Notice what he says here, verse 32. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for who? For us all. For us all. How shall he not with him, did you see that? How shall he not with him, we can't leave him out, also freely give us how many things? All things. Now listen, I want to be very careful here. Because I want it to be a work of the Lord. But if we're not careful, here's what we think. Well, I have to have a feeling. I have to have a feeling. No, we have to see the need. We have to see the need. Did Jesus Christ, of course, he loved us, but he saw the need, did he not? In his earthly ministry, he saw needs, and he met those needs, didn't he? So likewise, listen, do you and I see a need? Now, the Lord is different. The Lord is different because he's God, but you and I are dependent upon the Lord, are we not? On the Lord. And so, if we have a need, here's what we need to do. We need to just fix it. No. we need to call upon Him to fix it. Because we can go through the motions and we can put a lot of work and we can put a lot of effort and nothing really come of it. Nothing really come of it. So what should we do? And again, here's the part I want to be careful on. I don't want you to do anything for me if it's not for the Lord. You're wasting your time to do it for the preacher. All right? And by the way, there's a great need. And be careful, don't do anything unless you're going to do it for the Lord and be committed to it. What do you think God sees as He looks down on us? Are we really crying out to the Lord for the Lord to change our lives? Here's the thing. You and I can't say, Lord, save souls, and we're not willing for Him to change our lives. Amen. There's no way that's going to work. God won't use a dirty vessel. He loves us, but He won't use a dirty vessel. Lord, and what does that mean? That doesn't mean that we're in sin, but we have neglected our relationship with the Lord. We're in neutral. And by the way, listen, God doesn't want us to be neutral Christians. He wants us to have our hearts on fire for Him. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm. We ought to be growing more in the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before. We ought to be praying more. We ought to be reading our Bibles more. We ought to be witnessing more. But it has to be in the power of the Lord. And it has to be by the power of the Spirit, or you and I won't have the power or the want to. So how do we do that? Well, we have to ask Him for it. Lord, I need You to give me this fire in my bones. Lord, that I might see souls as You see them, and that is they are on the brink of eternal damnation without the Lord. And God wants to set our hearts on fire. But do we have a personal need to be yielded to the Lord, to walk in God's ways, or to walk according to what we think God, because the flesh is a very deceptive thing, and it could cause us to excuse and compromise the Word of God in thinking that we're right. Did you know that? It can cause us to think that we can neglect what God has commanded and we're still okay with the Lord, and we can deceive ourselves. We have to be right with the Lord in our hearts and minds and in our relationship with Him if God is ever going to do anything through Northwood Baptist Church. We cannot be noncommittal or nonchalant in our walk with the Lord and expect Him to open up the doors. Or here better yet, preacher, you take care of it. And preacher, if you're not doing it, you're not doing a good job. Do you think that's the way the Lord looks at His body? It's all riding on one person? You know what? I am fulfilling my obligation to the Lord. How am I doing that? I am proclaiming His word and talking to His people. The question is, how is it falling on the hearts of His people? Where are the hearts of the people of God? Now, here's what I want to be careful about. What do you think God sees? Do you think God needs a big congregation to do a big work? We might think we're insufficient, but what does God see? Do we just come and pray? It's good. Listen, it's good to come and pray and to confess our sins. But more importantly, it's good to come and pray because God is worthy and there are souls at stake. And you and I will not have the light of God in our lives to be His witnesses. We talk about the church and how God has commissioned the church, and I'm convinced most people don't even understand how God is operating in His local New Testament church today. From the time that He resurrected, how He has instituted the church and how He's directed the church and how He has organized the church that they might follow after Him. Do you know God has called, and you study this out in the pastoral epistles of how He looks at a pastor, and never once has God intended, for the sheep to lead themselves, or for the sheep to tell the pastor or the shepherd, the under shepherd, how to lead the flock. And we will not be right thinking, well, bless God, I don't like the way the preacher's leading. You better make sure your heart is right with God, or you're going to find yourself fighting against God's delegated authority and find out and think, oh, well, listen, if they just did it my way, I got it all figured out, and I know how things need to go. I wonder how many of you, any of you here, have ever pastored a church and know how God leads and directs his pastor to lead his people. And we want to look at the pastor and say, I think there's a problem here. I mean, my goodness, people aren't flooding in. We need to look at little old me, amen? And make sure that I am right with God in my heart and mind and yield and walking in the spirit of love and compassion, and in harmony, and in building up, and in admonition of the Lord, encouraging one another in the things of God, it's not about me, but it is about me. You ever hear people say, it's not about me? You ever hear people say that? You know what they're saying? It is about them. It's not about me, but it is about them. Because if it's not about you, you don't have to say that. So we need to figure out where our stance is with the Lord, and is there a need in our own personal lives to walk humbly with the Lord? Amen. Is there a need? Yes. Absolutely. And now let me ask you this. Is there a need for God to use me for his honor and glory his way? God has already set up in his word how he wants the church to function. And he says that he wants his people to obey them that bear the rule and preach the word of God in their lives. And if we're not careful, we say, well, I don't like the way the preacher's doing things. I think he ought to do it like this. Well, who's called you to preach? And we want to know why God can't bless the way he wants to bless. Listen, we can have one person in a rowboat rowing one direction and everybody else rowing in another direction. Where do you think we're going to go? No place. Or worse yet, everybody rowing their own way. Is that unity in the church? No, it's not unity. So we've got it. Listen, if our hearts are not to be unified in the Lord, we're only fooling ourselves, and we'll give a horrible account before God Almighty. Now, here's my heart's desire, ready? That we work together and see that there are souls to be won, but that we need to be in unison in the Lord, loving one another as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and to be a trusting servant, whether God does things the way I think he should do them or not. I want to follow the Lord. Study your Bible and see how God has delegated the pastor to set in order the things that are wanting and to trust him. How did it bode for Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On when they stood against Moses and Aaron? Was that a good thing? How did it stand for Aaron and Moses' sister when they stood against him? It doesn't work that way. So if you want to be serious with the Lord, we better take a good look at ourselves and say, and by the way, when we don't follow God's prescribed way and cause divisions and schisms in the body, don't expect the blessings of God. And just because you get things your way, that doesn't mean that's the will of God. When God is leading in a different direction, It amazes me how people sometimes think and completely confound and miss the Lord and think God winks at that. So if we really want to be serious and see the blessings of God, either God knows what he's doing or he doesn't. Whether I like it or not. And so it's high time, if we want to get right and serious with the Lord, we better humble ourselves and say, God, we need you, instead of scrutinizing and stepping back and scrutinizing things and as if we're the judge. Here's what I think. Well, show me in the Bible where God asks us. Show me where that takes place. And so, listen, I'm convinced God is not finished with Northwood Baptist Church unless Northwood Baptist Church is done with the ways of God. And they're going to walk their way instead of God's way. That's where it's at. God is wanting to do work. I'm wanting God to work, and I believe you want him to work as well. So notice what happens right here. So verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but also delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He's the judge. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather raised, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, how do you think the Lord wants us to walk? Does he not want us to walk in unison, in unity? He does. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Remember, there is nobody on the outside, but there's one person that can do it. And that's ourselves. We can resist and we can reject the will of God and the work of God. Study your Bible. You show me one instance where the congregation gets together and says, this is what I think we ought to, we need to vote on how the pastor is going to lead this church. You tell me where that's at in the Bible. I will tell you that when we talk about not calling a novice, he's talking to the pastor. For the pastor not to lay hands on anybody suddenly. It is the pastor that God has called to be his delegated authority in the local New Testament church, not some congregational get-together and voting on things. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't vote on things and when we make purchases and things of that nature, but when it comes to administering the Word of God and spiritual things, I believe he's left that up to the pastor. You show me in the Bible where he hasn't. And I will tell you this, he definitely says not for pastors to be overlords. And I believe you've known me for almost 9 years now. Am I an overlord? Am I running around saying, it's got to be done my way because this is the way I want it? Or am I trying to lead us in the way the Lord wants us to go? It amazes me. It amazes me how somebody can be willing to follow the Lord, and God's people begin to scrutinize and sit back and stop and grow weary or maybe even weak in their commitment to the Lord. You and I don't have an excuse to draw our hand back from God unless we've rejected him in his way, unless we think we know better how things ought to go. Now, God is wanting to bless Northwood Baptist Church. I'm convinced of that. And how does he do that? Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Did you see that? Listen, we are more than conquerors through the Lord that loved us. Did the Lord Jesus Christ give us an example of laying down our lives? Did the Lord Jesus Christ give us the example of not my will, but thy will be done? Didn't he do that? Do you think he wants you and I to do that? Listen, I am not looking to do anything that doesn't honor and glorify the Lord. Amen. I believe I've been here and I've proven that by my ministry. Amen. But because if we're not careful, little things get kicked up and stirred up. People will lose their confidence in God's delegated authority and think they have a just cause and really destroy things and gum up the gears. Now, I'm being honest with you because I want to move forward for the Lord, but you have to want to do that also. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, tonight, as we consider this, God wants us to be fully persuaded in the Lord and in His way. Is God worthy for you to trust Him? Can God work without your approval? And my approval, as long as it doesn't conflict with the Word of God. Now, you tell me, I don't believe I have ever asked us to do anything that conflicts with the Word of God. Not one time. And as far as I know, I have preached everything out of the Word of God. But if we're not careful, we have a spirit that is conflicting with the Holy Spirit, and God's not going to move. God's not going to work in that. And you can get yourself another pastor. You can go ahead and do that. You think that's going to change things? So God wants to do something. Here's the question. Do we want God to do something? And it just amazes me how people have these ideas of that they think that they can control. I'm talking about church people. I think that's more blasphemous than the Lord leading the pastor to do something that would be a benefit to the church, a glory to the Lord, and because somebody gets all bent out of shape, says, I don't think that ought to take place, when there's nothing against the Word of God in that. We can play games and smile and do this and do that, and if we're not careful, we are stifling what God wants to do. And we're not trusting anymore. God wants us to trust Him. Amen. Wholeheartedly. Amen. And say, you know what, Lord? I want to be supportive. I want to trust You. And I want to be a unifier and a support. Do you remember, when the Israelites were fighting? And every time Moses put his arms down, they were losing the battle. And what did they do? They got people to support his arms, didn't they? And every time his arms were lifted up, there was a victory. Do you think that's a biblical principle? That's called unity. But you cannot be, you cannot just put on a face and not be unified and not be supportive. And believe God doesn't see that. And so, it's important for God's people to say, Lord, forgive us, that we might put our trust in You and in Your plan and what You've prescribed from Your Word on how Northwood Baptist Church is to move forward. Not what I think, not how I feel. Not what I'm seeing as far as like, and surmising, well, why is this happening? Well, it must be the pastor's fault, right? Must be his fault. We'll just fix that, won't we? And here's what happens. God sees that, and I'm convinced that stifles the Spirit of God. But I believe God wants us to do business with Him so that He can do business with us. But if we're not willing to do that, then we'll stand still here. But I believe God wants us to move forward for His honor and glory. That won't happen until we're united. So God wants to have us united if we'll by faith trust Him. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, the wisdom and understanding that it brings to our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray that You would work in our hearts as only You can to bring unity and, Lord, Your love and Your compassion in the midst of Northwood Baptist Church, that the whole world might see Your great grace, mercy, and love in and through our lives for one another and for a lost and dying world. Lord, we are hypocrites if we believe we can love the world and not love one another uprightly, truly, and through and through. Bless your word and bless your people. And Lord, may we humble ourselves and seek you. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.